Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, 6:14. I know it's just a regular day for most people here. Dense fog advisory in effect till 9 a.m. Be aware of that. Highs today, very nice, 74 degrees. Tomorrow, 74, 73, 78. Thursday, Super Bowl Friday, 77. Super Bowl Eve, 79. And then the big day, game day, Super Bowl Sunday, highs of 76. Dry the entire time. So really, Chamber of Commerce weather. The Big Easy can shine. City that care, forgot, whatever you want to use. And I was walking around on Saturday, and I tweeted some pictures out. And every now and then, you really do have to just get in from the burbs, from Belchase and Metairie, and walk around and see everything this city has to offer, because it really is on display. Mike Dettelier joins us now, WWL NFL analyst, who'll be here later on, but he's nice enough to get his morning started with us. How you doing, Mike?
Fine, Tommy. Thank you.
Let's talk about teams got in last night, right? Both of them?
Yep, both of them got in yesterday, yes.
You know, when I was thinking about the teams arriving, I thought about when the Saints went to Miami to play in the Super Bowl, and somebody, they were late for a meeting or something like that. Tell that story. And Sean Payton said, if you want to keep screwing around, that's fine, but we're here to win the game, right?
Man, I don't remember that one, Tommy.
Really?
That's a good one on this. No, yeah, I sure don't.
I remember that. I really do. A couple of them were late for the meeting. He said, okay, you got here. That's fine. Keep screwing around. You're going to lose the game. And, of course, they didn't. Let's talk about the Chiefs and Eagles and injuries first. Mike, anybody that's out that they would really need or that they use throughout the season that's not going to be in?
That one, we're going to get a little bit more information on during the week, but their interior offensive line was really beat up. I'm talking about the Eagles now. When they went up against the Commanders a little over a week ago. And so that's going to be a cause of concern because of the fact their centers and guards were sort of interchanged, and then you had some of those guys go down to an injury. So we'll find out a little bit more about that. That's always a critical part, especially from the center position. And we saw it against the Commanders, their starting center and guard had sort of been interchangeable. They both went down to an injury. But so I think in that spot, we'll find out a little bit more during the week on exactly that. But in these type games, those guys are going to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have something really bad go on for you not to play in this game.
So let's talk about commonalities between the Bills and the Eagles, and we'll start with the Chiefs and their attempt to get a third straight Super Bowl. So when you look at the AFC Championship game, what do the Bills and the Eagles have in common?
One of the things I thought early on, and they got away from it, and I'm still kind of head-scratching on that, the Bills were able to run the football. And you think about what the Eagles do best, they run the ball best. They got the best offensive line in pro football. You have the top back in Saquon Barkley. And you sort of pounded away at people all year long. It's not that you don't have some top receivers. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, who's actually from Amite, Louisiana, and went to Alabama. And man, that guy, he's a really good player. But I think their ability to run the ball. This year, Buffalo ran the ball extremely well for the entire year. And it was part, I think, what brought Joe Brady to the forefront of where people were looking at him now as a possible head coach in the NFL, because he had adjusted from being a bit of a pass-happy coach to seeing that their offensive line was very good, and you had James Cook and a couple other guys that could run the ball. I'm not sure what he did in the fourth quarter to unplug that, why he did it. Here's the thing, Tommy. You can't try to out Mahomes.
Nope.
And we've seen it time in and time out. Teams try to kind of out gunsling him. You have got to do what you have done best. And the Eagles, if I'm Kellen Moore, I'm going to run the football with Saquon Barkley 25 times or more in this game. I'm going to force them to stop the run. And for three quarters, the Chiefs had a lot of difficulties stopping the Bills' running game. It's not that they stopped it. The Bills stopped running the ball. It was, Josh, you make the play through the air. I'm perplexed why you would get away from that. Almost as though you were trying to trick them. And you can't out Mahomes. You got to do what you do best. And that's run the football. So I think that's the biggest key for the Eagles, is if the Chiefs have some success stopping the run early on, don't get away from it. And I think that happens in regular season games too. Teams get away from running the football way too quick when, oh, it's only a 2-yard run or a 3-yard run right off the bat. And you know what? Fans are like that. Oh, why are you running the ball? You got to throw it. You know, there is that wear down effect. And I think that's what the Eagles have done best all year long. And I thought that's what the Bills did all year long. They ran the football extremely well. And the flip of that is they're still trying to cover Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. If you look at what the Eagles had some difficulties in on defense, Zach Ertz, I think, caught 13 passes against the Commanders. I mean, that's how big of an impact he was for them, for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. He caught 13. Guess who plays tight end for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I know. You said
Kelsey guy's pretty good, isn't he?
Right. Ertz played with the Eagles before, but he was with the Commanders on Sunday, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, man, my thing is there is something there for the Chiefs to look at to say, why did they have so much difficulty covering Zach Ertz? And if there's a flaw there, everybody's got it on any team. I think that, to me, jumped out that the Chiefs had trouble stopping the run, but you unplugged it. And for the Chiefs, they had to see that the Commanders had great success throwing the football to the tight end.
You know, what else is puzzling is teams get away from running a ball when they're ahead of the chains. They'll run, you know, 8 yards one play, 9 yards the next, what they do, throw it. Why? I don't understand that. We'll take a break. Live from Radio Row, celebrating Super Bowl week in New Orleans, is powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. Back with Mike to tell you in a second. You got any questions, the Oakland Air Jeweler Talk and Text Line is open, 504-260-1870. Right now, time for traffic, WWL. All right, Tommy Tucker live from Radio Row as we celebrate Big Game Week in New Orleans, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. Mike Dettelier is with us. You know who Mike Dettelier is. He'll be here later on this evening, and the place will really be jumping in. Mike, you know, we talked about teams getting away from running the ball so early, and sometimes, man, they'll be ahead of the chains. They'll pick up 8 yards, 9 yards, 7 yards, 5 yards, and what do they do? Throw it. Why? Why don't they run it until it gets stopped? I don't understand that.
Tommy, it's a good question, and a lot of it, I think, is because when you have a top quarterback, and when you get to these games, it is rare that you aren't making it on the back of a top quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you kind of put it in their hands.
Mike, we're trying to matriculate the ball down the field, fellas, aren't we?
Yeah, and so I think you kind of in the back of your mind caught and hang your hat on that quarterback, that he's going to make every play, everything done. And that's the one thing I give Andy Reid great credit, in that okay, you all know that how good Mahomes is, but they do have the running game involved with it also. And it's about his play calling skills, but everybody points to that direction. But to me, it's how innovative he is with a call. He'll run a play, but it doesn't look the same. He kind of changes up what it sort of looks like, and almost a confused effort on the defense of, okay, we saw it on film, and they ran it this way, and he gives you the same play, but he changes up exactly kind of how the play ends up. I think that's what separates Andy Reid. Play calling is an art form. It really is. But when you start changing up the play and it gives you a different look, man, that's a remarkable part of his expertise as not only a play caller but a play designer.
Mike, have you ever heard the creative process described as you go from huh to ah to ha-ha, where you can have fun with it? And that's where, yep, I think Andy Reid is. He realizes what he has with Patrick Mahomes, and he draws up some things that just utilize his skills to the utmost. It would be easy to be lazy and just go with what he has. You understand what I'm saying? And just let Mahomes be Mahomes, but or at least get the almost best out of him. But he goes the extra step to take these great skills that Mahomes has and design some plays uniquely around those, which maybe a lot of other coaches would not do.
I agree. The thing with Mahomes, and having watched him throughout the years from his days at Texas Tech and now, is he's Pete Maravich with a football.
Mm-hmm.
He can do things with a football very few guys can do. And the ball comes out a little differently every time he throws it. It's not all this over-the-top mechanical stuff. It's sometimes a side on three quarters. He'll kind of pitch a pass at time. It's almost like, you know, kind of growing up as a kid, you watch Pete Maravich do that with a basketball. You watching Mahomes do that with a football today.
We got to take a break. That's the best description I've heard yet. Pat Mahomes is like Pete Maravich with a football. Well, Pat Mahomes with a football is like Pete Maravich with a basketball. More with Mike Dettelier when we come back. We're live here from Radio Row. I'll get it out. Powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. More when we return. Time now, WWL First News. All right, here we are back on Radio Row, New Orleans Convention Center, 644, 16 till 7. Happy Groundhog's Day. See, that's the joke because the movie is, and yesterday was. Anyway, Mike Dettelier joins us now as we continue talking about the Super Bowl, Kansas City, Philadelphia. Mike, when it comes to comparisons, and I look at, you know, and it's a team sport, I get that. But on the surface, if you look at Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni, and you got a scale, right? Imagine a scale. I got it, and I don't mean this is a Andy Reid's weight at all. I'm not saying that. Terry Bradshaw got in some trouble for that a couple of years ago. But it would seem like, in terms of experience, et cetera, it goes to Andy Reid. Thoughts?
No question about it. You know, he's been there, done that. Nick Sirianni coached in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And to be honest with you, man, they had the Chiefs on the ropes. They just couldn't put them away. And Jalen Hurts outplayed Mahomes that day. When you look at it, man, he really did. It's just that the Eagles' defense couldn't stop Mahomes at the end. But, yeah, I think the advantage there, not only Andy Reid, but Steve Spagnuolo on the defensive side of football.
Man, I got to tell you.
Defensive coordinator. Think about what a wild run Spagnuolo has had. You know, and he's the only coordinator in NFL history to win Super Bowls with two different teams, because he was the defensive coordinator of the Giants. Now, you know, they had Mike Strahan and Justin Tuck and those guys, and they won it. And then, you know, he has a wild ride. He gets to Kansas City, and they win it there. So he's been a coordinator at two different stops to win Super Bowls. And how he hasn't become a head coach again, it kind of shakes my head a little bit. I would have thought by now somebody would have given him another shot. He was a head coach with the Rams for a brief period. Didn't work out there, but man, with all these other coaches getting second and third shots. But because he's a defensive-oriented coach is probably the reason. But, man, that's unbelievable resume, and he's on a Pro Football Hall of Fame career as an assistant coach.
I know, but every time I see him, every time they cut to that shot of him, every time they talk about what a genius he is, you know what I think of, right?
Yeah, he was here that one year with the Saints, the bounty year.
And had what?
It was one of the worst defenses in the history of the National Football League. And we had Pete Jenkins on up. I got Pete during the week, and Pete actually was trying to help him at that time. And just the chaotic situation that was happening here with no Sean Payton. And then, you know, Joe Vitt was the head coach for a little while, and then Aaron Kramer became the coach. Like you said, it was such a crazy deal. And I know Spags would always talk about it because he had come a couple times to Louisiana Line Camp, was that I saw Sean when he hired me. I was good friends with him, and I saw when he fired me. Mm. Nothing in between. So, yeah, it was a kind of a crazy ride for Spagnuolo, but man.
Wait, say that again? I think it's pretty good.
He said, I saw him when he hired me, and he said, you know, we were good friends, Sean and I. And he said, I didn't see him again until he fired me when he came back and coached the team.
Mm. But that's just because the situation he was in, I guess. What gets me about that, Mike, is a good coach with great players. Great players can make a coach look really good, right? And I guess the other side.
No question about it. And the one thing I give the Chiefs, they have drafted well. And they've brought him in a lot of good young players throughout the last two or three years. And he's really built that team when their offense has merely sometimes at times not played well. They've been carried by their defense. And so a lot of those young guys, man, he had to feed those pups real quick and real early, and they got in there, and they were playmakers across the board. The thing that I guess that jumps out at me is, and we see it all throughout the season, Saints had trouble with it too in the third game of the year, is how well the Chiefs' offensive line, which is not a strength of theirs, how well they'll be able to block who I think is the best defensive tackle in pro football, and that's Jalen Carter. And then, man, you got Jordan Davis on the other side, all 345 pounds of him. Mm-hmm. That is going to be quite a task for the Chiefs because Carter, he's rarely out of the lineup. I think it measured out on Pro Football Focus. I saw like 97% of the time he plays. Now, he may take a play or two off to catch his breath, but, man, when he's cranked up, he is something special to watch in the middle for the Eagles. So how they can control Jalen Carter, who has really been, as much as we want to talk about the running game and all, it's a huge factor. What he's, because of his maturity as a player, what he's done for that Eagles defense, he's been the big key part, along with Zach Bond, who did make it here, but boy, did he make it in Philly with Vic Fangio coaching it.
When it comes to the scale that we're talking about, you got to look at the quarterbacks on that same scale, right? And you got Jalen Hurts on one side and Patrick Mahomes on the other. And I know Jordan's sitting here from University of Alabama. Jalen Hurts is his quarterback. He don't want to hear this, but I just don't see where that's even close. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. 6:50, 10 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, live from Radio Row, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. Time now, WWL traffic. 55, couple of minutes left with Mike Dettelier. Mike, I was talking about quarterbacks earlier, and we got our scale out. You got Patrick Mahomes on one side, Jalen Hurts on the other. You got to tip that heavily to Mahomes, huh?
You got to tip it to Mahomes, but, man, I give Jalen Hurts a lot of credit. He came here to the Manning Passing Academy when he was at Alabama. And one of the vivid memories I have of that is Peyton Manning working with him on him setting his feet and his body balance and control when he throws the football. And he lost his starting spot at Alabama in the national championship game when Tua came in and sort of saved the day against Georgia. And then Jalen was a different player when he went to Oklahoma. You can poo-poo Lincoln Riley all you want. His offenses have always been really good, and he knows how to nurture and groom quarterbacks. One of them was Jalen Hurts. The Jalen Hurts we saw at Oklahoma was totally different than the guy we saw at Alabama. And his maturing as an NFL quarterback, where he's a 64% passer in the NFL. Tommy, that is really good.
Yeah.
When you look at, okay, he can't out Mahomes, but he brings that element of a running game. Because if you see him up close and personal, he looks like a fullback. He's built that way, mm-hmm. especially from the lower body down. Man, he's pieced together. He's the son of a coach, a high school coach. And he has really made great strides as a quarterback and getting better as a passer. And you don't see that a lot to upgrade the accuracy skills. But Jalen Hurts has really, really developed into a very good NFL quarterback. But he understands how to play in the element of his game. And that is, this team is built to run the ball. And he's part of the running game. It's just not all Saquon. It's also partially him in being able to give that option that he can keep the football. And he's dangerous out in the open field running the football.
Mike, one thing I don't understand. The total's at 49.5, and they scored like 73 points, I think, the last time they met in the Super Bowl. And I don't know that either team has changed substantially. That total just seems extremely low for me. And again, keep in mind, as Mike Dettelier often says, you can watch the game and you don't have to bet it.
Tommy, I felt the same way because it actually started out, I think, at 45.5, 46, and then made the jump to 49.5. I don't know who put that thing at 45.5, 46, but even at 49.5, I think that this game's going to be an over game. You can have your choice on who you think will win,
right.
But to me, that's the play.
That's
the
exactly.
Over
that's
on
what
this
I'm saying.
Between the two teams.
And I'm no handicapper or anything, but it just seems like, man, you know what? Who knows who's going to win, who's going to not? People got these conspiracy theories, but if you look at the teams, substantially are not really different, I don't think, than they were back then, and the amount of points they scored. Plus, it's an indoor game. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. We'll see.
I agree with you, Tommy, and that those conspiracy theorist people are when they lose.
Yeah.
when their team doesn't win. Well, when their team wins, it's not a conspiracy. They just played real well. So I get what you're going at, though.
Best way is to bet over on a total, then you're rooting for everybody. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Tom.
Have a good time. We'll be listening when you get here this evening. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Mary Beth Romig, Assistant Vice President of Public Relations for New Orleans & Company, about their plans for the Super Bowl. Then we'll take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa, see what tariffs are up to here on WWL.